If you have, it's Matthew. Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. If you don't know that, now you know. And that's where we'll go. And this is why everybody mocks me, because I do old school, because I have paper. You know, and they're like, "Why don't you use a..." Listen, computers mess up. Yeah, so, and I don't just put the scripture reference and then turn, because when I turn, it could happen like that. Now, the truth is, though, but I don't want y'all to everybody turn around, but I can have it up here. we actually have access to where we can see it up there, but y'all can't see it here. But I guess I could go stand back there and have everybody turn around and sit on the pews backwards, and then somebody'd fall over and sue us, and then we just... Johnny, what are we going to do, man? Dude, I like your Mr. T starter kit right there, though. That's really cool. I do. I like that. Did she get that for you? Okay. Well, I'm good. I'm glad with that. Well, let me read you this little story here for a second. Today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. Did I already say that? Yep. And we'll get there here in a second, but let me read this little story to you. It says, a couple that had been married for 15 years began having more than usual disagreements. Anybody been married 15 years and had disagreements? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. And they wanted to make their marriage work and agreed on an idea that the wife had. So for 1 month, they planned to drop a slip into a fault box. And so the boxes would provide a place to let the other one know about daily irritations. So the wife was diligent in her efforts and approach, and she would put in notes like leaving the jelly top off the jar, wet towels on the shower floor, dirty socks not in the hamper, and so on until the end of the month. Well, after dinner at the end of the month, they exchanged their boxes, and the husband read out loud and silently reflected on what he had done wrong. And then the wife opened her box and began to read, and they were all the same. They all simply said, "I love you." Isn't that so sweet? Now, see, y'all would want me to tell that story backwards, that it was the woman. That's not how it works. That's exactly not how it works. So today, this is kind of weird because I don't have this. I'm so used to turning. Then Peter came to Jesus. Let's look at verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Jesus, talking to Jesus, and said, "Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? 7 times? And Jesus said, "No, not 7 times, he replied, but 70 times 7. We all know that's 490 times, right? Here's what I want you to see. And again, we're revisiting the familiar. We're familiar with this scripture, and we'll get to the parable here in a second. But forgiveness, Peter would not have to have asked Jesus how many times to forgive if forgiveness was in the law. But see, forgiveness was not in the law. The funny thing about the law, and people are so funny, because when you talk about Jesus has nailed the law to the cross and the law, and you're killing it, people try to tell people that understand the word like me, and they're just talking grace, that you're throwing the law out. No, Jesus said, "I didn't come to get rid of it. I came to fulfill it." The law points out to absolutely every single one of us how bad we are. But it stops there. It doesn't give any solution. The closest you get to the law concerning forgiveness is when it says to love your neighbor as yourself. But it doesn't, it totally points out every angle of how horrible leprosy is, but it doesn't tell you how to be healed of it. The law is the word says it in Hebrews. It's a mirror so that we can see how bad we are. But you can't, it's the sign that says no fishing allowed. So everybody goes to fish there, because the word says the law gives sin its power, because it does. If we're walking down the street, and I've used this before, but if we're walking down the street and there's 10 glass houses, and me and Johnny are walking down the street and we're just talking, we get to that last house, there's a big sign that says, "You will go to prison if you throw a rock at this glass house." There's something in us, man, that we hadn't even been thinking about it till we were told about it. Do you get it? And that's what the law, God had to make the law so that we could recognize how bad we were, so that finally when Jesus came, we could see that we do need a Savior, because we've got tons of people out there that don't need Jesus because they don't see how bad they are. Again, half the gospel is how bad I am, but the other half is what's powerful is how great He is. Holy moly, if we'd get that. Holy moly, where'd that come from? Holy moly, guacamole. So forgiveness was not in the law, which, by the way, there's 613 laws that are in the Word. Now, there's the Big Ten that we know, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not murder, and thou shalt not... But totally, there were 613. In fact, I, just for your help, and so you understand, I'm not just saying it, I went through every one of them, all 613 of them, to try to find something on forget. There's nothing in there. That's why, I'm telling you why Peter had to say, Jesus, why, you know, should I forgive seven times? Now, let me tell you something about this. Peter was being a little bit arrogant when he said, should I forgive seven times? Because they were teaching, the Pharisees, the church of the day was teaching that you had to forgive somebody three times a day. So Peter thought he's going to be a big deal. Get it? So Jesus said, should I forgive seven? And then when Jesus said 490 times, what was he saying? What he was saying is, well, first of all, he said Jesus made it very clear that forgiveness is not an option. It was a new command. Do you not remember how many times he said that? Here's the new command. You want to do what Jesus says to do? Here's the new command. You love other people. Here's the new command. You forgive people. Here's the new command. So he took the law, and when the word says that he said, I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. Because in fulfilling the law, he came to die for us so that the law was fulfilled, so that those who believe in him could live an abundant life, a cool life. So here Peter thought he was being generous by saying seven because of that thing. So here's the truth. Jesus went to the cross and record the record keeping in us went out of business, or it was supposed to. In fact, I'm not going to make you go to this scripture, but I'm going to read it to you. It's out of Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. It says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. And he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed spiritual rulers and powers and authorities. He disarmed the enemy by what? By taking away the charges against us. But if you don't believe he's taking away the charges against you, you will never get to the point to where you forgive other people for being charged against you. Do you get it? So here the Pharisees again. Pharisees and Peter, all of the people at that time, were record keepers. They kept track of everybody else's sin. And again, the Pharisees 3, Peter 7, but Jesus said 490 times. What was he saying? He was saying it's an infinite. He was saying it's infinite. He was saying we have to totally, honestly, always forgive. Now see, it's a whole lot easier for me to stand up here and talk about the Big Ten. But it's another thing to talk about real life. Because Jesus came and died for us to give us real life. And real life is we'll lay down our head at night and sleep without stewing. Okay? So Paul reemphasized this after Jesus died. And here's how he wrote it. He was writing to the Corinthian church. We all know this, the love chapter. Chapter 13, verses 4 to 6 says this. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Let's just leave the patience part out. Love is kind. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Now this is love. I'm not love, but God is love. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that he does love. He is love. The word's very clear on that. It's him. It's who he is. I want to be there, but I can understand my failures that I don't want to be proud or rude. But and then it says, and love does not demand its own way. Love's not irritable. And here's my important part that I'm going to... And love keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth is out. So here, Peter, there. Yeah, I forgive seven times a day because I probably can get there. Yeah, there it is. Exactly. It's keeping record. You know what? We're so funny. You know, because Jesus, they asked Jesus, you know, how do we pray? How are we going to learn how to pray? And Jesus said, well, don't do like the Pharisees do, and don't stand up and want to hear your own self. You know, oh, Father God, we thank thee that thou hast provided. He said, go lock yourself away and pray in private. And then he said, and pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, and he had just told them, don't be repetitive, but just pray like. So what do we do nowadays? We take what he told us not to do and do it with what he said.
Or you want to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You see what I'm saying?
So we do exactly what he said not to do, using his words.
I love humanity.
In all honesty, I kind of do, actually. So, then Jesus, after Peter said this, Jesus told this parable. He said, this is starting at verse 23. He said, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. Now, let's pause there. Remember, we've been talking, when we're talking about in parables, whenever he says the kingdom of heaven, we've got to find the subject. So the subject is the kingdom of heaven can be compared to the king. So now it's like, okay, the kingdom of heaven is going to be like what this king does. That's why it drives me crazy with the prodigal son story, because the subject is the man, not the two boys. Because he says the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a man who had two sons. Anyway, that's a whole different parable. Stop. So, this is just really, is this weird for y'all? Like you having to look at your Bibles and stuff? It is for me. I should have brought my glasses out because, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, I've gone from 10 font when I started here to like 16 font. Pretty soon John's going to be up here with cue cards for me. Or get a teleprompter or something. So anyway, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Think of that. If we're comparing this to God, God wanted to settle account. You get it. With his slaves. So when he had begun to settle them, one of them owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. Verse 26. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I'll repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me. So his fellow slave fell to the ground, began to plead with him, saying the same thing that he had just said. Have patience with me and I'll repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him into prison until he should pay back what he owed. That's amazing to me. How can you pay back what you owe in prison? You know, even nowadays, like they'll put somebody in prison and then he's also got this, like you have to repay the family $50,000. Well, how's he going to do that making license plates for $1 an hour? You know what I'm saying? Sorry. I actually have friends. Like I'm looking at Johnny. Johnny's like, I've been there. You never made plates though, right? Did you ever make plates? No. You made furniture? Okay, see, there you go. I could start asking other people in here, but then y'all know who's been in prison and then freak you out, so I'll just leave the rest of you alone. It's like we have a lot of NA people that come here, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, and so they're anonymous, so you can't know. Now, when they go outside, they'll talk to each other, but in here, they're anonymous, just so. Notice I'm not looking at any of you that are, because then people go, oh, I'll look at my wife. My wife, narcotics. You know, wow. It's so funny, man. The woman's never done. She washed her hair in beer one time, and it made her sick. That's as close as she's ever come to drinking. All right. So, yeah. I definitely outran the punt when I found her. Scored. Thank you. Okay, so I don't have here to go up to. Sorry, I gotta find it here. So he paid. So he said, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay it." And he said he was unwilling, and he went through him in prison. And so, verse 31. Here we are. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they went and tattled on him. So when the fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved, and came and reported to the Lord all that had happened to the king. In other words, then summoning him. His king said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And this Lord removed with anger, handed him over to the torturers, remember that word, until he should repay all that was owed him. And then Jesus said, my heavenly Father will also be the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. The heart is the word cardia, by the way, and it means from the center of your physical and spiritual life. It's not good enough just to pat somebody. You have to really forgive them. So let me give you some thoughts on this so you understand it, because you're like talents and denarii. Back in the day, 10,000 talents, one talent was equal, watch this, one talent was equal to 15 years of wages. So put it in American, if you make $25,000 a year, because that's about $500 a week, right? So I'm trying to get it normal for all of us. If you make $25,000 a year right now, one talent would be $375,000, which means this guy, if he made $25,000 a year on American standards, would owe the king $3,750,000,000. Is there not something funny that when he said, be patient with me, I'll pay you back? Really? You make $25,000 a year, you owe me $3,750,000,000, and you're going to pay me back? Jesus was making a humongous point here, because his point was, you've been forgiven so much, when you've been forgiven so much, it's impossible to pay it back. Do you hear me? We can't pay it back to him. It's impossible. So why do we try to do that by doing things rather than by just believing in him? Because we do that all the time. Listen to me. Have you ever paid off an automobile? Anybody in here ever paid off an automobile? Yes. Was that not the greatest feat? How much was your payment? $497 for 5 years or whatever. How many years? 3 years, $497. And you paid it off. You was ready to party down on you. Did the next time a payment would have been due that you go, man, I think I'm going to write another check. You didn't, did you? Why? Because it was paid in full. Tetelestai, Jesus said on the cross. It means paid in full. So why do we feel like when he's paid it in full that we've got to come back and start cutting him a check still? You get it. And that's why he did this parable so over the top. John, you owe me $3,750,000,000. Pay me back on your $25,000 a year retirement. You get it? He was making a huge point. But we just read and go, oh, talents and denarii, and we move on to the next scripture so that we can say we read the Bible in a year. Wow, that was really brutal, wasn't it? Sorry. So, here's the truth. Grace. Now remember, I always told you, grace is not a doctrine. Grace is Jesus. Grace, the undeserved favor, is impossible to pay back. It's impossible. You can't do it. I can't do it. I can only stand in awe and weep about it. I'm not playing. I'm a crybaby nowadays, I guess. You know, especially when you're going to hang with the fire department, because they never cry. They water up. That's what they say.
Oh, yeah, I watered up a little bit.
You know, whatever. You just cried out, you baby. But no, I'm telling you, it overwhelms me. I can't. For years, I tried to do the payback. For years, I tried to keep cutting the check for something that was paid in full. Do you understand? Oh, man. But watch this. To forgive, not just the thought process of it, means to cancel the debt. And really accept that there's no payback necessary. There's none. And just, come on, let's be really honest, since we're going to be honest. Without love, we will never quit record keeping, and we will never forgive anybody. You cannot do it without love. And when I'm talking about the love of God that's within us. And you will never get that love of God until you believe that he loves you. You have to receive his love before you can give out his love. That's common sense for a computer. That old G-I-G-O thing, garbage in, garbage out. You will never get nothing out of a computer that hasn't been programmed into it. You will never be able to pour out the love that he has. You will never be able to pour out forgiveness love that Jesus nailed to the cross, as we read a while ago. Or have we read that yet? Yeah, we read that. So, this man, $3,750,000,000 in debt, begged for patience and he received debt forgiveness. I think we ask the wrong things. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something that does not work in the kingdom that we think does, although you're going to throw a scripture at me and I'll explain it. The scripture being, you reap what you sow. I understand that scripture. And as you look at that in the original language and in the context of it, it is talking about serious life and reaping and sowing in that in a positive as well as a negative way. But here's what I want you to understand. Because the debt has been completely and totally been taken care of, even when we do stupid, he doesn't hold stupid against us. I can't tell you the people who are afraid that they're getting cancer and they think it's because of how bad they are and how horrible their lifestyle is. I get it. Yes, there's consequences, by the way, to doing stupid. I get that too. But that doesn't stop the healing hand of Jesus because he paid the debt in full. I don't give a rip if you smoked 80 years. He will heal you because he says so. Because he says so, not me. Now, see, I might not even want you to be healed, right? So, this man did not deserve forgiveness, but the king gave it. Here's a scripture, Hebrews 10, 15, 17. It says, and the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, this is the new covenant that I will make with my people on that day. This is God speaking prophetically out of Isaiah, says the Lord, and I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Verse 17 says, then he says, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. He forgets them. Do you hear what I'm saying? He forgets them. So all this begging God, forgive me for this, he forgave you on the cross. When you say it again, who's the one bringing it up? It's the enemy. How many times do I have to tell you? The enemy is the one that says, Johnny, do this. And you go, no, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, I'm not going to be tempted like that. And then finally you give in to temptation, and then you feel horrible because he's going, see, look how bad you are. Do this, look how bad you are. What a great parent he would make. So here's what's so funny. Here's what I want you to see. This guy didn't appreciate the cost of the debt that the king had absorbed. Watch. Debt does not disappear. It's absorbed by the forgiver. Debt does not disappear. It's absorbed by the forgiver. I can give you a great example. My son, when he was in college, we didn't have any insurance. And he had an appendectomy, fixing to have an appendix explode. He's in Oklahoma. I'm flying in my car up to Oklahoma. We get there anyway. It's all said and done. They quoted us like $85,000 till they found out we didn't have any insurance. Then it dropped down to like 20, which makes you kind of wonder. Scratch your head. It's not the point. Point is, I set up a payment plan, all right? And so I set up a payment. I'm going to be real. I set up a payment plan for $150 a month, blah, blah. Well, then the economy just bellied out, and finances went really down, and so I fluctuate with finances of the church. You know, when the church is doing good, I do good, and church is doing bad, we all just die. Anyway, so I wrote them a letter and said, look, I just want you to understand, I'm in this situation. I was very honest with them. I said, I will pay what I can, and right now I can pay you $25 a month. I'm telling you, $25. And let me tell you something, man, I did that faithfully, $25. And they I don't know if they were mocking me or were serious, but every time I'd get my new bill, because they'd send me a bill every month, I'd get my new bill, there'd be this red stamp, paid full, you know. I don't remember a whole lot of things, which is good, especially in forgiveness areas. So I always pay bills when the bill comes in. Well, it's a year later, and they hadn't sent me a bill, man. So my sister-in-law is a big shot with the hospital, and she told me exactly what happened. She says what happens is sometimes when people die, they donate money to a hospital, and the hospital people will take that money and go through bills and decide who they want to forgive the debt of. Well, they either forgave or forgot, but they forgave, because people that owe money don't forget. Anyway, do you hear what I'm saying? That's what Christ did for us. We all owe I'm just telling my age. I guess I owe 3,750,000,000. We all owe it. But he took that on the cross. So when he took that on the cross, he released us to have the ability. You want to be like Jesus? Well, yeah, man, so I'm going to quit doing this. No, don't quit anything. Start something. Don't quit doing bad. Start doing good. Don't quit. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. How about you start love? If you start, that's why the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's there to let you do this. It isn't even up to us. How cool is that? He didn't just come and die on the cross and say, okay, now you got to love. He said, here, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Not only is he the advocate, but he's the helper. And the Holy Spirit is our help. What does that mean? That means when I pray and I cry for help, I don't have to go any further than what's inside of me, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. So I don't got to be shouting to heaven. I just got to be saying, Holy Spirit, those fruits that you grow, I want to start with that first one you talked about, the love. Because it goes to what? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and self-control, which is temperance. All that. Let's get this one. That's why Paul wrote an entire chapter, which he didn't write in chapters, by the way. He did write in just paper. But the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 is all about that whole thing, love. Why? Because love is the handle. Love is that. Love is the Ryobi. Did I say that right? Yeah, y'all know what a Ryobi is? Look at that, man. I feel like I can do something. Well, it's a drill, like a tool bit. But you know what? You can take other things, right? And put a screwdriver on it and take that off, and then you can put the. You get what I'm saying? So it's the root of functioning in all kinds of crazy good areas. You use those, right? In mechanic stuff. You don't use that stuff in mechanic? Well, do you have toys that you can, like, take one off and put another one on and fix things? It's like I told you online. I don't know if it don't go as broke, man. But it's not Ryobi. Of course not, because that's what I can afford. Yeah. My point is, the love is the handle to everything that needs to come out of our lives. And it's amazing how true that is. Let me keep right here on this paper here. Thank God for paper. So, I said this, but I'm going to say it again. Debt doesn't disappear. It's absorbed by the forgiver. Watch this. We can never repay the debt that we owe God, ever. We could never repay the debt. We can't. He's written us off. He's written it off. It's paid in full. Stop trying to pay something you can't pay. Do you know that forgiveness isn't forgiveness until we're willing to accept the loss? Can I be just really honest with you? When my daughter Leah was killed, October the 4th of 2002, when I chose to forgive John Ferguson, which is his real name in the book, it says something else, I had to come to grips with the fact that my debt was his, that debt was paid, and I could not get it back. And I did. And I'm not standing up here being proud. Good night. Steve Van Zandt would have killed him. Do you get it? If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, then if I allow him to live in me, then good things are going to happen. Now, he was smart enough not for me to meet him in the mall. If you've read the book, you know the story. He came here to church, and I didn't know who he was. And he came down to the altar, and I didn't know who he was. He was broken, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking he's just had a divorce because he just kept saying, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God. And then he just looked up and said his name, and I reacted, and thank God how I reacted, John. Like I said, I would have reacted differently in a mall probably. But I grabbed him, and we wept bitter tears. Everybody's going, oh, my God. Look, if that's not proof in the pudding that Jesus is real, you don't get it because you don't know who I am. And what I'm saying is, real forgiveness only happens when you can let that other person go from the debt that they owe you. He owes me my daughter. Well, he can't bring her back. Well, then he needs to suffer. No, he doesn't. In fact, they asked us, they wrote, they always wanted to ask us before they're going to release him. He went to prison, obviously. And And the first year I just said, I talked with my family, and, you know, we're still concerned because it was his second offense. Not second time he'd killed somebody, but second time he'd been under the influence and had a wreck. The first time he'd killed somebody. But anyway, then the next year, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, I'm not even going to ask the kids. I said, I just feel like we need to let him go. And what I meant by that was, here's the letter I wrote was, we don't know him. All I know is our daughter can never have Thanksgiving and Christmas with us ever again. But we don't understand. We don't have to hold him to that. And if you, and here's what we said, to make it clear, if you feel like this could never happen again, if you feel like he's reformed to that point, then we say release him. If you don't, then don't, because we certainly don't want anybody else to go through what we've been through, you know. And they didn't release him. The next year, I didn't even respond when they asked me to respond. I just, because that was my last response. And he got out early, and I don't know where he's at. It's not the point. The point is, if you will love, I promise you, my Leah would want me to love him, because that's who she is. When she was on this earth, that's who she was. And now that she's, that's who she is. But you can't fake that. Do you hear me? You can't fake like you're okay. You can't fake like you're not mad. And I tell people all the time, the proof in the pudding is, if you can sleep at night, if you can lay your head down and sleep at night and not stew, then God's doing a work in you. Doobie-doo. I just want to rhyme today. There's another rap for you there, Jalen. Stew. Okay, write it. Write it, man. I'm telling you, this man's going to be the first grace rapper ever, because there's we got some really good Christian rap, but we don't have any really good Christian grace rap. What do you mean grace rap? I mean talking about Jesus instead of ourselves. You get it. Be kind of nice. Anyway, so forgiving the guy who killed Leah doesn't bring her back. But watch this. Honest forgiveness, real and truly honest forgiveness, accepts the loss and moves on. Okay, so I wrote on here my final thoughts, and these are my final thoughts. It'll be, I don't know how long we'll be on my final thoughts, but we're here. When we're done wrong, our nature is to see them punished. I get that. I get that. I get justice. I get it. I understand it. But that doesn't justify me being mean to other people. It doesn't justify me wanting vengeance. You can want, you know, and you can't. Again, the only way you're going to fix this is if you receive his love and believe his love and hold his love, because then you're going to start understanding. You're going to see how bad you are and how much he loves you. In the midst of how horrible you are, how much he loves you, then that thing called grace is going to come out of you for other people. It's a natural process, because he did nail that to the cross. So it is over. His forgiveness is for us, is forever and ever. He's thrown it into the sea of forgiveness, as it says in the Old Testament. So we want them other people, though. We want them to suffer. And watch, we want them to hurt as bad as they hurt us. I get it. I get it. He gets it. The Bible says very clearly, Jesus went through everything. He was without sin, but he went through everything that we went through, but he was without sin. That's amazing to me. So, here's the prison that we put them in. Remember they threw them into the prison? Prison we put them in is silent treatment. Prison we put them in is avoiding them. The prison we put them in is verbal attacks, normally behind their back. Oh, am I being just way too honest? I am. I'm sorry. So, who are you holding hostage right now? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be miserable right now? Let me tell you about that word torture. In the Greek, it's called banasnismi. You'll never look it up, so it doesn't matter how I pronounce it, right? And I don't have it up there. But here's what it means, where he said he took the guy and put him into the torturers. That the word literally means that was, remember the term the rack? They had this rack where they would tie your hands here and your feet here, and then they would just pull this crank and just kind of stretch you. It probably felt good for a while. You know what I'm saying? Get it stressed out. But then after you're about 8 foot tall, it's probably not good. But anyway, that's what I mean. And it was also, they used the word for a jailer. You know, like Apostle Paul was constantly in jail, so that was the word they used for the jailer. The reason it's important you understand that is this jail that I'm talking about, you're not putting anybody in jail when you're not forgiving them. You're putting yourself in jail. Now hear me. And I told you my favorite saying is bitterness or unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. It just doesn't happen. I had a guy in my office who, him and his dad did not get along. Well, me and my dad did not get along. But him and his dad didn't get along. And he was mad. And I said, here's what I want to do. I want to bring your dad in here, and I want you to beat the living soup out of him. So exactly what I said. And I said, once he's on the ground, just almost dead, I want you to just kick him and finish it. And then I looked at him, and he's a firefighter, different department. And I said, you feel better now? Does that make you whole, make you happy? He got it. Sad thing is his dad died about 3 weeks later. And he came back and talked to me, and it was good. Because I'm telling you, it's the truth. Bitterness is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other guy to die. It doesn't happen. So this prison that we're talking about here, is that prison of that we're put in the jail of anger and bitterness, and it will eat and erode. I said corrode. That's the same thing. Corrosion is actually interesting, more so than even erosion. Now that I think about it, because corrosion is what happens to a battery and it gets all yucky on the outside. Erosion is on the inside. So you do erosion and corrosion. It only starts with erosion and ends at corrosion. That's a lot of erosion, man. A lot of erosion. That was free right there. You're doing. I just did what I do in my study, right there with you guys, and because I actually do talk out loud to myself sometimes, always. I just don't answer myself. Yeah, you don't? No, I don't. Okay. It's that roses are red, violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic, and so am I. So, I saw that on a bumper sticker one time. Actually, okay, there I go. Sorry, rabbit trail alert. So. In jail, in this jail that we've placed ourselves in, we lie awake at night. Why do I say that? Why do you say we place ourselves? Well, because that king put that guy in jail. Yeah, but that king later on died on the cross. Jesus was still alive when he told this story. When he died on the cross, he took care of it all. So he ain't putting nobody in jail no more. We're putting ourselves in. You get it? All right. So, in this jail, we lie awake at night stewing over being done wrong. It's that Martha and Mary thing where Martha was really kind of angry at Mary because she wouldn't get up and help her in the kitchen. Man, that's common sense. That made total sense. She had every right to be mad, didn't she? No, she didn't, obviously, because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said, well, Martha, you got a lot of concerns, kid. And Mary, this lazy Mary that you're talking to, you think is lazy, she's actually chosen the best thing. Because if you understand it, you can work and work and work in the kitchen. You can work and work and work and trying to get your life straightened out. But you will never get pregnant in the kitchen, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the intimacy with Jesus that life happens. It's in the intimacy with Jesus that true love happens. And it can really flow out of you into all those other people that you cannot stand or that have offended you or that you are holding the torch of life against. All with the name of Jesus on it. So while we try to punish those who hurt us, the reverse is happening. Unforgiveness zaps every ounce of joy we could ever have. It really does. And that's, and again, you know the difference. I've told you the difference between joy and happiness. Joy you can't get. Happiness is up and down like crazy. Happiness, you know, like today, I'm hoping to be happy after the Cowboy game. I don't think I probably will be, but I'm hoping I'll get to be happy after the Cowboy game. Until next week, when it, you know, and you get what I'm saying. Happiness is, but joy, you can't, even the Cowboys can't steal my joy, man. Even that horrible, no, I'm kidding. Is this ready to, Bella's like burning a hole in my head right now, because although she changed to be a Houston, I saw, she was a Texan. No, I know exactly what happened. Yeah, so Bella, by the way, between, Josh isn't here, between Josh and Bella, biggest Cowboy fan ever. In all honesty, I mean, she, and I appreciate that, because some people are Cowboy fans when they win and not when they don't. But she made a bet that the Cowboys were going to beat Houston. Well, the bet was she had to put Houston Texan on her cover, I mean, on her profile picture on Facebook. So everybody's, I'm seeing that. And I knew, I didn't even have to read the comments. I knew what had happened because I know you would never do that. So anyway, getting off the Cowboys because now I have unforgiveness towards them. I'll just work on that later. Lewis Smedes, which you don't know and it doesn't matter. Here's a quote from him. It's great. He said, "When I genuinely forgive, I set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner I set free was me." Yeah. And then I wrote this thought that I was going to put up there. Real forgiveness is like meeting someone for the first time. Yeah, think that. That really is good. You know, people like, why we always hurt the ones closest to us. Well, because you can't hurt somebody this way far away. You know. I'm really almost done. I'm going to read this little short story, and it's short. In his short story, Ernest Hemingway wrote The Capital of the World. It was a short story he wrote. He tells of a father and son who had stopped talking to one another. Things had gotten so bad that the son left home. And after several years, the father wanted to mend the relationship, and so he looked everywhere for his son. And when he came to the capital city of Madrid, he decided to go to the newspaper office, and this is back before internet, obviously, Ernest Hemingway, and he went to the newspaper office and took out a big ad in the newspaper that said this, quote, "Paco, please meet me at 12 noon tomorrow in front of the newspaper office. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." And it says the next day at 12 noon, there were 800 men named Paco standing at that building. Think of that, man. That's funny, but then it's not, isn't it? Every Paco in the world needs a taco. Every Paco, taco, Paco, Paco, Paco. I got another rap working here, Jalen. You're going to have to get on it. Paco Taco, don't be unforgiving. Paco Taco, let's start living. Paco. All right, two more thoughts and I'm done. It wasn't the amount of debt or the debt itself that sent that servant to prison. It was his refusal to ditch the old record-keeping system and move into the new nailing debt on the cross system, which is what Christ has created. I read that to you earlier. So, and this was going to be up on the big board and then I was going to be done, and this is what it says. You will never totally forgive someone if you never totally believe that Jesus totally forgave you and totally nailed everything negative concerning you to the cross. And that's the truth. Because until you believe he did what he said he did, you will never be able to, in any kind of inkling, release other people into that area of forgiveness, unforgiveness. All right, Sister Van Zandt, so you mop that one up. I'm kidding. She told me one time, don't say that you're mopping up your message. I just said it. Sorry, love you. I forgive you.
Here's the thing. Forgiveness doesn't change the past.
It can't.
But forgiveness can change your future.
And
I'm so tired of people living in the past because we want to hold people to what they did in the past, but you want people to forgive you for what you did? Isn't that like the definition of hypocrisy? Listen, I'm telling you, we have to walk in forgiveness and let the Lord do the work in the people's lives that we can't do. We just talked about all this in Sunday school today. You're not going to win somebody to the Lord by arguing with them. You may stroke your ego and you may make some valid points, but you're not going to win anybody to the Lord. And isn't that our goal, is to let people see who he is in our lives? And I'm just asking you today, are you bound up with unforgiveness where you are so full of hate that you can't rest and people don't want to be around you? Think about it. We are keeping people from knowing Him. That's what I should be doing, is leading people to Him by how I love and how I forgive. Guys, I want to tell you something. I can't pay your debts. I can't pay mine. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about things that need to be forgiven. But we've got a great Savior who can. Let's run to Him. Let's find that forgiveness. Let's forgive people. Let's have a future that's bright. And quit letting people define why we can't have joy and why we can't have forgiveness. Let's just get forgiven. Because, you know, you take care of you and He'll take care of them. Right? You with me on that? I want you to do this with me. If you are in need of forgiveness today, would you just stand to your feet? Need of forgiveness, stand to your feet. He's washing you right now. He's washing you right now. The Spirit of God is washing you right now. Father, I just receive forgiveness because I need to give forgiveness. God, I can't change the past. I can't change what's happened. But I trust You more with my past. I trust You more with that because I know I can trust You with my future. I've seen, God, how You covered me when I was a failure. I've seen, God, when You protected me when I was hurt. I've seen, God, when You moved in situations that I thought were going to destroy me. So I can freely trust You with my future. I'm asking You for forgiveness right now, God. I need my mind to be cleansed from rehearsing these things. God, I need, my blood pressure needs me to forgive other people because I'm so bound up in what they've done wrong, God, that I've forgotten that I can only bring me to You. God, deliver me. Deliver me from the torment of trying to be Jesus. I just release those people right now, God, to You. I release them. God, help them. God, I'm crying out for mercy over our nation, God. I'm crying out for mercy, God. God, withhold from us what we deserve. Lord, we have become such a hate-driven, unforgiving people. God, move us back to You. Bring me back to You, Jesus. I cry for mercy today, God. Have mercy on us, Lord. And deliver us from evil, God.
Just real quick, I want to share how good God is. It just came to me, and I think I need to share it. Back when the guy that had killed Leah, he was on his way to prison. And when you're going to go to prison, there's a holding cell at the jail. And people who are coming out of prison, people who are going into prison are like in the same little spot. So I had a former deacon of our church who was in prison. We know how to do this. And he was in the holding cell to get out while John was going in to go in. And he heard John broken saying he had killed a pastor's daughter. This is so God. And he goes up to him and says, "That's my pastor that you're talking about." And they prayed together. So this church was the last prayer that John got before he went into prison. That is who Jesus is, ladies and gentlemen. Do you get it? He loves John so much that he planted people in his life, and it encouraged, said his name, the guy that was coming out encouraged him because God would use him, and it encouraged John because it's a guy from the church where I heard that. You get what I'm saying? Jesus is bigger than me and bigger than you, and He's going to do His thing. Let Him do His thing through us because He'll find somebody. It's really awesome. Anyway, sorry.
You know, we all remember things differently, and I remember when we wrote that letter that Steve talked about, the thing that I remember saying is, when Steve said we can never have another Thanksgiving or Christmas with her, I remember saying, we don't want to withhold from his family getting to have Thanksgiving or Christmas with him. When they came and said, Let's go after his retirement because he's a teacher. He was a coach. Let's go after his retirement. I remember looking at that lawyer because we didn't want to sue anybody. And I said to him, how could I do that to somebody that has a wife and three kids? It wasn't their fault. And I remember the look on his face because, you see, the world wants somebody to pay for it. I just need Jesus to pay for me. You ready? Can you just declare this with me? Father, today, I want you to set me free from what I don't understand, from anger, from unforgiveness, and I want you to help me set other people free. I need you to do for them what I want you to do for me. Forgive me and help me today, God. Cleanse me, Lord. Just make it pure. Clean slate all over here, God. Clean slate, Lord. And help us not to go back to the pig pen, but to keep walking forward. Now just take a deep breath. Guys, I'm telling you, there's physical healing in forgiveness. There is physical healing in forgiveness. Can we do that today? Amen. Amen. God bless you.